I think that's one of my favorite sounds, the body of Christ greeting one another. My other favorite sound is the body of Christ turning Bible pages. And so I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles. Let me hear those pages turn. To John chapter 14, we're going to pick it up in verse 21 this morning. John chapter 14, verse 21. Father, we do thank you for your Spirit. And we do invite your Spirit to enlighten your word to us. Lord, I pray that as your people, we would find joy in submission. Recognizing that you are in charge and you have good things in store for our lives. Bless this time in your word, I do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. A little boy was looking down at his shaggy little friend, and he said, "I wish I could obey my parents as my little dog obeys me. He always looks so pleased to obey, and I don't." I think we can all relate with that, no matter how old we are. I don't think we like that word obey that much. It's too restrictive. It implies that somebody else is in charge, and we don't like that. We like to be our own authority. We like to call our own shots. We don't like to be told what to do. You know, even as born-again Christians, that rebellion and self-centeredness can be a real struggle because of our sinful natures. But my brother and sister in Christ, listen very carefully. Obedience brings blessing. The pathway of obedience truly is the pathway of blessing. Let's see what Jesus says about that. Look in verse 21. He's speaking to his disciples and he says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Gang, clearly from this passage and many other passages, Jesus expects us as Christians, as his followers, to be obedient to him. Jesus is our master, and we are to obey him. That's expected. The Greek word for obey is hupakuo. It comes from two different words, hupo and akuo. Hupo means under. Akuo means to listen, to hearken. And the idea is, Jesus is your master. He gives orders. He gives commandments. He gives you instructions. He gives you direction in life. And you are to hear them, acknowledge them, and carry them out. No questions asked, every single time. We're to be obedient to our Lord like that. Or there's another way you could think of it. You could think of it as submission. If you're a Christian here this morning, you are to be in absolute submission to Jesus. Again, submission is the Greek word hupotasso, hupo under, tasso arrange. As a Christian, you are to deliberately arrange your life under the authority of Jesus Christ. You are to order your life under his authority. Gang, it's very important that we all recognize as Christians here this morning, all of us individually need to recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ. That has to be an issue that becomes absolutely settled in our lives. Jesus is in charge, I'm not. And that's so important. Peter Forsyth was right when he said, "The first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master." I so agree with that. You know, everyone has a master, and the master you choose to have will define the type of freedom you enjoy. And I am telling you, there is no better master than Jesus. And if you are a born-again Christian, that issue must be absolutely settled. On the tombstone of a soldier who lost his life and property in battle for the royalist cause were written these words: "He served King Charles with a constant, dangerous, and expensive loyalty." Man, if people will serve human leadership figures like that, how should we serve our Lord? How should we obey our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, with a constant, dangerous, expensive loyalty. That's how. We are to obey Jesus. Now, what is obedience involved? Well, according to our passage here this morning, it means to keep his commandments. What does it say in verse 21? "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." Verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." We are to keep the commandments of Jesus Christ, okay? First, we need to get the commandments. You can't obey commandments that you don't know about. You have to get them. So, my brother and sister in Christ, where do we get the commandments of Jesus Christ? In his word. In fact, he says, "Whoever keeps my word." The commandments of the Lord are found in the Bible. Not just the red letters that represent the actual words spoken by Jesus, but the entire Bible, because as you know, Jesus, the Son of God, in union with the Holy Spirit and the Father, wrote the whole book. And so as Christians, we are to obey the Word of God, and that means we need to become extremely familiar with the Word of God. We should be studiers of the Word of God, diligent, getting the commandments. Paul told Timothy, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Listen, that's a command for all of us as Christians. We are to become those who rightly divide the word of God. Literally, cut straight. Understand the proper interpretations. Understanding all the nuances of Scripture, understanding the Old Testament and the New Testament and the differences between them and how they complement, being able to see the big overarching general principles of Scripture and how they might relate to the specifics. There's a lot to understand about the Bible, and we should be lifelong students. Now, I personally believe that the responsibility of Bible teachers and pastors and professors and seminaries, they have a job to explain the Bible and help the body of Christ in general. And my prayer is that you get to know your Bible better at every single service you attend here. I do pray for that. We labor for that. But also being an individual servant of Jesus, you must put forth that effort to study your Bible, get the commandments, get your marching orders. Okay, so what do we do after we get the commandments? Well, he says we need to keep them. We need to keep the Word of God. The Greek word for keep is tereo, and I just mentioned that because it's translated three different ways into English, and all of them, I believe, relate and apply. Tereo can first be translated as treasure. If you are going to be an obedient servant of Jesus Christ, then you should treasure his commandments. Treasure God's word. Like the psalmist wrote in Psalm 19, of the commandments of the Lord, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Listen, do you value God's word? Do you understand how incredibly priceless every commandment in this book is? Do you treasure them? Do you honor God's word? The second way that tereo can be translated is guard, and I love this. We are to guard the commandments. We are to guard the word of God. The idea is defend them. Stand for them. Gang, there have been a lot of false teachers and cults who have attempted to pervert the word of God, twist it, take things out, put things in, invent all kinds of new material. And you know what? As God's people, we better guard it, defend it, understand the true interpretations of the scripture. And I want to say this very strongly this morning. I do believe that the Word of God stays true from generation to generation to generation. Let me tell you, there is a huge movement right now of people who try to delegitimize Scripture. Their argument goes like this. The Bible is an ancient book. It was written long, long time ago. We've come so far in society. We've become more sophisticated, more modern. The Bible can't certainly relate to our way of life today. And so the teaching goes that many sins that were once considered sins way back when the Bible was written, you can't consider them sins today. You know, the Bible has its own outdated definition of marriage. But we become more sophisticated in our modern age. We have a new definition of marriage. Or the Bible talks about there being two genders, but we become way more sophisticated than that. And I'll tell you, that's a very serious threat. And you can look at many issues across society, and there's an argument that the Bible no longer relates. The morals of the Bible are outdated. They're ancient. You don't have to worry about them today. Hey, listen, there's only a remnant left, but the remnant will defend the scripture. We'll guard it. Will uphold the pure, plain teaching. The Bible should not be made to conform to society. Society should be made to conform to the Bible. It's the Word of God. We guard it. We defend it. We treasure it. And then the third interpretation for tereo is this. You keep it. You obey it. You live it. You get the commandments, you get the instructions, you understand them, and you apply them. You carry them out, you live them. It's not enough, brother and sister in Christ, to just treasure. It's not enough to just get really good at defending and guarding. Where the rubber really meets the road is living it, right? Applying it, obeying those commandments. James said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We're to do it. Obey it. Apply it. Dr. Howard Hendricks, one of my favorites, a seminary professor at Dallas Theological Seminary for many years. He's now in heaven. But he's famous for saying this: for a Christian, the opposite of ignorance is not knowledge, it's obedience. If you got it, if you see it, it's not enough just to know it. You do it. And as Christians, we don't get to pick or choose, oh, I like this part of Scripture and I don't like this other part. It's all the Word of God. So, treasure it. Guard it. Do it. Obey your master. Now, my brother and sister in Christ, what's our motivation for obeying of Jesus? Why do we obey him? You know why we should obey him? Because we love him. That's why. In fact, he does say in verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who what? Loves me. Verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. Folks, this is so important. Please see this. These are cause and effect statements. The idea is this. Jesus is not saying, if you love me, you must keep my commands. You better keep my commands. He's saying, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Cause and effect. Obedience to Jesus flows out of love. You love him. Oh, my friend, Jesus isn't like this Marine drill sergeant barking orders from heaven. And you have to keep them. That's so disingenuous. Now, Jesus is the one we love the most. And folks, there's so much to love about Jesus, isn't there? He's so lovable. Everything that he's done. He's the king who gave his life for his people. All of it. He's the one who cares about us. He's the one who has all of these incredible plans for our lives. He's the one who makes it possible for us to go to heaven when we die. He's the one who pours his grace out upon us, gives us every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. That's the promise of the New Testament. He's gracious. He's kind. He's saved us. We should love him because we know him. And because we love him, we obey him. It flows. You know, when you really love someone, serving them or working for them, it's no big deal. It doesn't feel like work. I remember when I first met Kim, I was strucken with her. And then when we started to date, there was nothing that I wouldn't do for that woman. Because I loved her. I mean, if she gave me a letter, I wouldn't toss that letter away. I'd open it up and I'd parse every word. If there was anything that she needed, I would do it. And it's still that same way today as my wife. I love her. I adore her. serving her, working for her. It doesn't feel like work because I love her. There's a great story in Genesis chapter 39. Perhaps you remember it, when Jacob, he's with Laban, and he outside of the promised land, and he's gone away, and he meets this Rachel. Do you remember the story? And he just falls head over heels in love with Rachel. And he goes to her dad, Laban, and says, "Hey, listen, I want to marry your daughter. I don't have any dowry right now, so can I just work for 7 years for her?" And he said, "Sure, you give me 7 years of work, and you can have my daughter Rachel." And the scripture says, so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. See, out of genuine love, obedience doesn't feel like work. It's just natural. Do you love Jesus? Think of who he is and what he's done. So it's not this obedience that's hard, you know, the whip. As Christians, we should be delighted to obey every single commandment, every time, without exception, no questions asked, because we love him so much. Okay, when you obey the commandments of the Lord, when you make that commitment, you will be blessed. Your life will be way more blessed than a life of disobedience. I promise you that. When you obey the commandments of the Lord, you enjoy protection in life. Did you know that God, he didn't come up with these commandments just so he could put us under his thumb? He didn't come up with the commandments for us to keep just because he's bored in heaven and he wants to, you know, invent commandments for us. He didn't just come up with commandments just to take away all our fun. It's for protection. You keep the commandments of the Lord, you're protected. You're safe. Think of it from a parent standpoint. Do you have rules for your kids? Let's say you have a 5-year-old. Do you have a rule that says, little Johnny, you will not play in the street? Okay, now little Johnny, you're really bummed out. What are you trying to do, take away my fun? As a parent, are you trying to take away their fun? No, you're trying to keep them from getting hit by a car. And as a good parent, you'll probably provide a much better opportunity, like a safe backyard filled with awesome equipment. That's how God is. He says, don't do this because that will hurt you, and here's something better. He protects you. Listen, there are many, many pitfalls in life that will utterly destroy your life. And so the Bible says, avoid those. I'll give you a perfect example, sexuality. The Bible says sex is to be only within the context of marriage. You're not supposed to have sex before you get married. And you're not supposed to have sex with anyone else that you're not married to. Now, why does God say that? To cramp your style? To take away your fun? No, because sex within marriage, done right, is beautiful. Sex outside of marriage brings all kinds of problems. Unwanted pregnancies, STDs, perhaps leading to abortions, guilty feelings, the loss of a marriage, the loss of kids, the loss of a career, on and on and on. So Jesus says, don't. Make sense? They're put there to keep us safe, to protect us. There was a young couple that decided to go for a midnight swim. They were young teenagers, boyfriend, girlfriend. They went to the local pool and climbed over the fence, ignoring all of the signs that were posted. And just as the young man dove off the diving board, the young lady read a sign that said, "Don't swim, pool has been drained." Oh, but signs are so restrictive. Obedience is so restrictive. Listen, obedience is your safety net. God has good plans for you. I'll tell you also, if you obey the commandments of the Lord, you will see great success in life. Did you know that that scripture, that concept is all over scripture? Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." 2 Timothy 3, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." You want success? You want blessing? Jesus says in John 15, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much, much fruit. And so you will be my disciples." You know, the Lord wants you to be prosperous, successful in every way of life. Do you know that there's commandments in the Bible that talk about how to date? How to make a marriage work, how to be a parent. There are commandments in the scripture that speak about friendship. There are commandments in the scripture, many commandments that speak about money, career, business, physical health. Right there, keys to success. And then there are many, many, many commandments in scripture that teach you and instruct you how to prepare for the next life. Pushing treasure next life. Living for rewards that come in the next life. Not all caught up right here. The blessing of obedience. Obeying the commandments of Jesus will bless you in this life and in the life to come. And then there's a wonderful little benefit of obeying Jesus here that's, I think it's beautiful. Divine manifestation. In verse 21, he says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Jesus says, if you obey my commandments out of love, I'll manifest myself to you. Literally, I will disclose and reveal myself to you. In verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." If you obey Jesus Christ out of the right motivation of love, God makes his home with you. That's the best reward. Now you say, well, what is he talking about? It's hard to communicate this. You see, you can only experience it. We know that God loves the whole world. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." But we also know that those who become members of his family, children of his family, enter into a new experience of his love. It's a deeper love. And here, apparently, it would appear that there is even a deeper and more intimate experience of God's love for the obedient Christian who is obeying out of genuine love for him. Jesus is promising a special, personal, intimate manifestation of himself. You will enjoy a special intimacy with the Lord, a special friendship with God, he'll disclose himself to you. You get to know him better. You'll be more aware of his presence. It's sort of like, you know, when you're the disciplined, active, dedicated member of the team, you get better access to the coach. As you obey Jesus out of genuine love, man, you get to see him move. You get to see him work. You watch him move in your life. I think that's the greatest reward. Too many Christians are living only to get to heaven. But as Christians, we can live in such a way that heaven comes down to us right now through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual presence of Christ. And your awareness of that and experience of that. It's beautiful. Jesus should be our master. We should get his commandments, treasure them, guard them, keep them, and then enjoy the protection. Enjoy the success. Enjoy the divine manifestation. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I'd like to keep the commandments of Jesus, but it's hard. I can't. I have a hard time. Can I remind you of the wonderful promise that we studied last week, that you have a helper? If you're a Christian, you have a helper just like Jesus, with you and in you. And he will help you. He will empower you. We depend upon him. We walk in his power. Listen, you need to be aware of that. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. And look what it says of the Holy Spirit here in verse 25. Look what Jesus says. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Isn't that cool? If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is your very own personal tutor. He's your instructor. Do you realize he will teach you God's word? He'll enlighten your eyes to the commandments of Scripture. And day by day, he will help you to navigate through life obeying the commandments of Scripture. He'll give you that power. My favorite invention of the last 10 years, and I think maybe it's been just the last 10 years, maybe a little longer, is Google Maps on phone. More specifically, map navigation. I hate to admit this, but Kim would tell you, I'm terrible at directions. I get lost everywhere I go. So when that app came out, it's so cool. You punch in the direction, right? And this nice little lady starts talking to you. You're going to go down this road for a few miles, and then you're going to hang a right. No, not turn south or north. I don't know anything about that. You're going to hang a right. I need to be told it's, you know, across the street from Chick-fil-A. Don't talk to me about direction. But here you have this nice voice in your mind. I mean, right off your stereo. You're going to hang a left in 500 feet. You're going to go straight here. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is like your spiritual GPS navigational system? He'll lead you at every turn. So it's not like you have to run out of here and I'm going to obey more. Run out of here wanting to depend upon the Spirit more. Let him help you obey. By the way, he'll bring things to your remembrance too, won't he? Jesus promised. He will bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. So you're walking along in life and there's a temptation. The Holy Spirit will be the warning light, won't he? He'll bring those truths up. You're walking along in life and you're discouraged, and he'll give you the encouraging truths. Oh, love him. Show him your love by obeying him. Christian, are you obeying the Lord? Are you at least making an attempt? Is it on your, you know, your list of priorities? I mean, we should be obeying Jesus Christ. That's number one, right? Do that in every area of your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Enjoy the blessing. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I do believe everyone does have a master. And it's so important that you choose one. Bob Dylan, the great Bob Dylan, he wrote a song many years ago, "You're Gonna Have to Serve Somebody." You remember that song? And there's a whole bunch of verses that mention all kinds of different people from all walks of life. Here's one verse. "You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble, you may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody, yes. Indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Who will you serve?" Heavenly Father, as your people, we choose you. We trust you. Lord, you're our shepherd. You take care of every detail of our lives. And there is safety. Lord, I pray for anyone here who belongs to you, has gotten off the path. I pray that you'd turn them around. Get them on the right path. Lord, for those who are struggling with an issue that they know is absolutely wrong in their life, I pray that they would trust you and do what's right. They would experience a blessing like they've never known. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we can trust you with management of our lives. Take the reins. Father, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who has not yet made you master and king. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never received Christ. You want him to take over. Listen, before Jesus can become your master and your king, he has to be your savior. He has to be your savior. And he died on the cross for your sins and rose again to save you. And so you have to come to him first and ask him to be your savior. Ask him to wash away all your sins. Invite him to cleanse the past, to get rid of it all, to make you a brand new creation. Then become a part of his family. And then let him lead you. Let him lead you. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, I want you to have that opportunity right now. Right now. You say, "How do I do that?" Just a prayer of faith. asking him to be your Lord and Savior. I'll lead you in that prayer right now, right where you are. Say this to your Lord. Say, Jesus, be my Savior. I need you. I admit my need for you. I admit my sinfulness. I need my sins forgiven. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, for paying the price for my sins. I receive you into my heart right now, into my life. Be my Savior. And then I would also ask you to be my Lord, be my King. Help me to follow you. Fill me with your Spirit. In obedience, walking in obedience to you. Praise you, Lord. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing a concluding song, and we're going to have folks up here in the front who are here to receive you. If you pray to receive Christ, we want to invite you to come forward and share that with one of us. We do have information that we'd like to get with you that can help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Maybe you made a decision to follow Jesus this morning and there's a decision card in the back of the seat in front of you. Grab that out, fill it out, tell us what you decided so we can get some things in the mail to you, we can reach out to you and help you in your relationship with the Lord.